Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. I am your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey Bartley.
And we are back in your ears once again to talk about the upcoming Purdue football game against the University of Connecticut, the Huskies. I was waiting. I was like, I know he's going to do something. That was not a bad Husky, you know. Huskies, adorable dogs.
I've been Husky my whole life, Ledman.
I think that's a different kind of Husky. I don't think that's the same. Could you imagine if their logo was just like a slightly overweight guy?
It would be so much better, particularly for the football team.
Right. They're like, is that a lineman on your helmet? Yeah, it's Husky. He's a Husky. So that is about as serious as we're going to take the UConn Huskies at this point. So we're gonna talk about UConn for the majority of the podcast, but there was some breaking news in the Purdue world that I did want to talk about. Etuan Moore is coming back for his 11th season in the NBA. He just signed a one-year, $2.6 million deal with the Orlando Magic. This will be his second stint with the Orlando Magic. He was there in 2012 and 2013, and that was really where he kind of made a name for himself in the NBA for the first time. He actually played 22.4 minutes a game and then 19.1 minutes a game and appeared in 75 and 79 games for them respectively during those 2 years. So, he obviously is being brought back as kind of a veteran. $2.6 million, obviously, a great chunk of change. I'm not sure of the collective bargaining agreement if that's,
close to the minimum for somebody who's been in the league that long.
I don't know how much he's going to play, but, Casey, you're more of an NBA guy than I am. Can you tell me anything about the Magic and what maybe Etuan is looking at for next season?
Yeah, well, they picked fifth in the draft, and they were lucky enough to have the guard out of Gonzaga, Jalen, fall to them. They also have Markel Fultz, who either just did or is about to get some real money, and that's kind of their backcourt. So the Magic guards are very young. They could use some leadership. You know, Etuan Moore, in theory, does two things pretty well right now. The ball defends, and more than anything, he is obviously a beloved presence in the locker room, was on that Suns team that went to the finals. Didn't get much run on the playoffs, but that was a guard, oriented team with guys like Devin Booker and Chris Paul. This is a totally different animal. He's on a young team, trying to really make something of all these young pieces. Jonathan Isaacs is still recovering from his knee injury, so he could absolutely provide them some minutes, some consistency and stability, but the things he's going to bring off the court, things we saw, he's one of the smartest players that ever came through Purdue.
And absolutely, that's
really helped him, in the pros. And that's a great signing for a team that is really looking to try to somehow make it into the playoffs and develop these young players. So when you can have a guy who might provide something on the court, but will definitely provide something off the court, it's a win-win. And who doesn't want to, go live in Florida and make $2 million a year playing basketball?
Yeah, $2.6 million. No state income tax in Florida, so he's making even more like that. So I'll take it, and we wish good luck to Etuan in his 11th season. So he is hanging in there, and that's what we love to see. So now the bulk of the podcast is going to be talking about UConn. So they obviously are the week two opponent for Purdue. Purdue is heading to UConn, so the game is going to be on the road, which, as we talked about in our podcast earlier, this week, it is a bit strange. I don't know if there's a return trip from UConn in the future, but generally that's how these things work. With the way football contracts work, it's probably like 13 years in the future. So we'll have forgotten about this by then. But as we mentioned, UConn, very, very bad. in the previous podcast, we mentioned that Randy Edsall had announced he was retiring. Probably less than 24 hours after we recorded that podcast, he either was fired or stepped down entirely. It's kind of unclear. It may have been he was shown the door and said, you can resign or we will fire you. No one really knows. But after that, also, they named a new starting quarterback. So, we've got two things that we weren't expecting, and now we have to look forward to in this game against UConn. Now, Casey, my first question for you is are either of those things going to matter?
No.
Fantastic. Moving on. So you don't think there's going to be no rally around the new coach effect, who, by the way, his name is Lou Spanos?
Yeah, I think they just...
Possibly related to Jesse Spano? I don't know.
I definitely think they had just... They had a really great quarterback waiting and a really great coach waiting. And, yeah. And they just really got blocked in that Holy Cross game from Shiny.
Yeah, it was all just a bitter coach preventing the five-star recruits from getting on the field.
You see it all the time.
Yeah, it happens so often. So I know nothing about this coach. So what I'm reading, I'm looking, you know, I'm literally looking at his Wikipedia. He was a defensive quality
control. There is a Wikipedia?
Yes. Yes.
All right. I would have lost that trivia.
He was a defensive quality control and assistant linebackers coach for the Steelers. It says for many years. Let's see. Oh yeah. 95. It's 95 to 2009, so, I mean, that's a pretty long stint with one team.
It's a long time to be at an entry-level position as a coach.
Then he went to the Redskins as a linebackers coach.
Okay.
Then the Bruins, UCLA Bruins, he was the defensive coordinator.
I had a question. I thought he might have picked a different sport.
Right. Then he went to the Tennessee Titans. Makes he was sense. A linebackers coach for 2014 to 2017. He was the coveted analyst position at Alabama in 2018, which generally means he was probably fired and couldn't find another job and somehow has a connection to Nick Saban. And when he left that job, he went to UConn and was the defensive coordinator until he just became the head coach this week. So never been a head coach.
His star has never shined brighter, Ledman.
It's true. This is his opportunity. Wikipedia lists his career highlights as 2-time Super Bowl winner and a Pac-12 South Division champion.
Those are things are roughly equal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think if you sat somebody down and said, look, you can either win 2 Super Bowls or you can be a Pac-12 South Division champion, which would you do?
It's a question I ask myself almost every morning.
Well, for me, it's what I think about when I go to bed and I just struggle. You know, you can't get to sleep with that on your mind.
No, you enter the dark place before you even get to.
Right, right. So we know nothing about this coach, but again, not like he has some vaunted history that he's, you know, just been sandbagging and waiting for the opportunity to come to UConn and take over the football team. So it's a little bit different. Now, quarterback, it was a guy named Zergiotis. I don't know.
Yep.
Jack Zergiotis.
Yep.
And is now Steven Krajewski.
Yep.
And so.
Okay. More syllables playing quarterback this game or points scored by UConn? Go.
Oh, I'll go points. Because if. I mean, all they got to do is score one touchdown.
You think only one of them is going to play?
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, if George
Karlaftis is on the other side of that line.
True, true. But I mean, if you're the new coach and you already are like, you've made your statement that this is my quarterback, I'm changing it up, and then you've got to switch him out unless he's, you know, if he's injured, it's a different story. But if he's not injured and you've already got to change your mind on your quarterback, that doesn't
I think good. You've put more thought into UConn football than UConn football has.
That's probably true.
I don't think there's a big PR issue at the Huskies.
Well, okay. Yeah, I don't think anybody's thinking about it other than us right now.
Which is the problem of doing a prediction post about it. Like,
yeah. Who knows? Yeah, so this guy, this Krajewski, played in 4 games in 2019. Remember, UConn did not play in 2020. They decided not to have a season. He has thrown for 292 yards and a touchdown. He played earlier this year against Fresno State. He was 2 of 6 for a total of 11 yards. So not a whole lot to go on. Now, that being said, Casey, a couple of weeks back on the podcast, we talked about, you know, paying for journalism of sports, right?
Yep.
And you were kind enough to send me a free month of The Athletic.
Sounds like something I would do.
It does. And I was reading that either yesterday or earlier today. And they did a ranking of all 130 college football teams entering this 2021 season. This was obviously before, you know, the season started. Where would you rank Purdue out of 130?
In what scale? For what?
They ranked all 130 teams, you know, of major college football, FBS.
Just in general?
Yes.
Oh, like 72.
Like for this season. For this season.
72.
You were damn close. 78th is where they put us.
I'm pretty good at this.
And I can't argue, really.
No.
Now, keep in mind, there are 130 teams they ranked. Where would you put Connecticut?
129.
Dang, you're close again. 128.
Damn, almost.
128. So that tells you what The Athletic thinks of UConn. And these are people who do this full time for, you know, a career. whereas you and I are just kind of schmucks who do this on the side. So that tells you what we can expect from UConn. They are not going to be very good. Now, I must say, the Purdue fan in me says, oh man, new coach, new quarterback we've never heard of. These are the games where Purdue usually struggles. You know, we don't have tape on somebody, and then suddenly they come out and they're an athletic freak, or Purdue's just not prepared. Talk me down from that ledge, which I'm sure half of our fans are feeling. And I know some of them are because I read the Facebook comments and I read the comments on the website.
Because it's not that. We're not playing a real Division I football. It's like, you have to think of this more in the way that we have basketball games where we have non-conference games. There are non-conference games against mid-conference teams, and then there are non-conference games against Chicago State. Even a bad day, we're going to win by 20.
Right.
And there's just no way around it. That's what this is. This is a Division II program masquerading as a football program because scholarships. Because if you get rid of your football program, you have to gut every female program.
Yes, yeah, it would definitely mess up the entirety of the athletic department were you to get rid of football.
So, yeah, this isn't that. There's no concern. I am going to assume that George Karlaftis alone can stop this offense.
Yeah, I would think.
And David Bell alone can score enough to make the...
Yeah, I mean...
Horvath is going to look... If you guys miss Mike Alstott, watch Horvath in this game Saturday.
He's going to be wearing his best Mike Alstott costume.
He's going to be a rumble, a bumble, a stumble, all the way into the end.
Yeah, I mean, he already has the same number and everything.
This is not that. This is the first drama-free game that Purdue has had on a football field since Illinois.
I was going to say, I don't even know. It's got to be further back.
I think
back.
We beat them by like a couple
years. Yeah,
ago.
But I mean.
Like going into it?
Going in, yeah.
Yeah, this is
probably
the first
since 2004.
One. Yeah. Enjoy it. Get drunk as fuck and don't make it to the game.
It's at UConn.
Why? No one's going to be there.
Yeah, I'm not sure many people are going to go to this game. Here was the question I'm going to ask you. The current line, according to FanDuel, 33.5 points. Are you betting Purdue or are you betting UConn?
Purdue.
Even with a 33.5 point spread?
They lost to Holy Cross. I'm not voting on them.
Well, right, but they only lost to Holy Cross by 10. And again, that's not like that's a good thing. But beating a team by 33.5.
Okay, you know how we complained about the bubbles to Anthrop last week?
Yeah.
It's going to work this week because he's more athletic than everyone on the...
That's fair.
We're not going to be in any trouble. I am very confident that Plummer, Bell, Horvath, tight end. Why am I blanking on his name?
You can get it.
Durham. Payne
there
Durham.
You go. Payne Durham.
Payne Durham. Like, they're going to dog walk these guys, the Huskies, right off the field.
Oh, see, that just worked perfectly. Dog walk, and they're the Huskies. You were waiting on that. You had that in your bag, just waiting to pull it out. So, looking at FanDuel. So, they have NCAA predictions and expert picks, according to some website called NumberFire. I don't really know what that is. But they have a winning percentage prediction. Purdue is only getting 92.2%. 7.8% of people are picking UConn.
Okay. If at any point we fire Brom, screenshot that, because that is...
Yeah. So I'm not real worried about this game. I think it is going to be a game that we're actually going to enjoy watching. I think there will be a lot of points put on the board by Purdue. And also, I think it's one of those games that's going to be a bit of fool's gold. People are going to be way too excited at the end of it. And they're going to be like, oh, look at what this offense can do. Look at, you know, what Brom is back, baby. He's more aggressive because we're going to win by like 30. But then you got to realize, you know, we played UConn.
We're going to win by 50.
Next week is a real
test.
No,
we're going to win by 50. Brom has to win by 50.
Oh,
he has no goodwill. He's going to run up the score.
Okay, I agree he might run up the score, but 50 is just absurd.
We're going to have three running backs score a touchdown.
Okay, I mean, Horvath, Dorun, I don't know who the third's going to be.
Whoever that other guy that played for, like,
The transfer from a place. He was good, let me tell you.
Exactly, he's going to score a touchdown.
So I'm looking back at the 2004 football season because that was my freshman year at Purdue. And it was also, I mean, you know, we were just crushing people at the beginning of the year. So you think Purdue can win by 50 against UConn? Here are the first few games of that 2004 season. Purdue played Syracuse at home. They won 51-0. They played Ball State at home. They won 59-7. Then they beat Illinois 38-30. They crushed Notre Dame 41-16. And then beat Penn State 20-13. And then, of course, the wheels fell off, but we don't talk about that. And at the end of the season, they beat IU 63-24. Yeah. So, I mean, that was a high scoring team. That was, of course, Kyle Orton was the quarterback that year. So,
yeah, I went to game day. I was a sophomore.
Yeah. I was in the front row game day, actually.
I don't know.
Yeah. My buddy, Matt, put up a tent, like, I don't even remember how early, and him and I slept overnight, and then we're the first people in game day. And then, of course, they put up like a big shield in front of you, and all the cheerleaders were directly in front of us. We couldn't see a thing. It was awful.
Yeah, and then look what happened.
Well, less about that, the better. So I am going to ask you for an actual prediction score, and you can't just say win by 50. So you got to give me an actual number. I'm allowing you...
What were our predictions last week? How'd we do?
We were both right. We both picked Purdue to win. I think... I can't remember the exact numbers, but we were, you know, fairly close because really? Neither of us said it was going to be a blowout. So I will go first. I am obviously picking Purdue to beat UConn, but it's going to be less than 50, and I'm actually going less than the 33.5 spread. I'm going to say it's going to be 45-14.
Ooh.
So it'll be right on the edge of that spread, but I think 45-14.
Going 54-3.
Oh, wow. All right. 54.
Did you watch what Karloftis did to a real offense?
I did.
How do you think that's going to go for them?
Okay. Let me ask you this. Over under 2.5 sacks for Karloftis.
I think he'll get.
Oh, wow.
They might stop throwing, though. That would be my only.
Yeah. Yeah. If they stop throwing, but then we would just be able to load the box and we'll see what happens. But I would be mightily impressed if Karloftis could grab 4 sacks. So.
Let me change it to 6 tackles.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Because, I mean, if they do focus more on the run game, it's not exactly fair to have him try to get 4 sacks if they only throw the ball 8 times.
Right.
Yeah. So I buy that. I think he's going to have a great game. And I think David Bell is obviously – he'll go over 100 yards easily. I think he's going to get at least 2 touchdowns.
I hope we don't play him very much.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be the other thing. I mean, we don't want to risk injuries because we do have a big game against Notre Dame coming up the following week, and we would like to be 100% at that game. So one more little bit before we go. TJ Sheffield, Brahm announced, is going to be back for this game. Casey, I know you were very excited about him when we talked earlier in the week. What is it about him that you think – he can add to this offense?
I mean, honestly, hopefully he takes the Anthrop role on those little bubble screens, on any of those short passes. He's short, strong, quick, fast, someone who is built to do yak. So get him the ball, get him some space, get it to him quick, get it to him awesome, often, get him a little rhythm, and he's going to be a guy that can break some plays and get some chunk yards. And the wide receiver, it's been a little weird this year because it was only Bell and Anthrop last week. I still don't know where Milton Wright is, who was a really good player for us last year. Tall receiver, good athlete. As far as I know, he's still on the roster. He's showing up on the roster on the site right now. There are some players in offense that I would like to get a chance. We're going to need more than Anthrop and Bell and Durham throughout.
Yeah. Yeah. And Wright did have 24 receptions, 305 yards, and 2 touchdowns last year. And considering, again, it was only six games last year, that's not too bad. So we would expect, I don't think he's injured. I don't think he's being, you know, punished in the doghouse for any reason that I know of. So hopefully we can see him back on the field. And if it truly is a game where the score gets out of hand and Purdue is taking over, I would like to see Brahm take some of the starters out, put in some of these guys just to see what we've got. Obviously, I'm a fan of Marcellus Moore. I talked about him earlier in the week. I'd like to see him get some run on the field and see what he can do. I'd like to see him get in some space and see how fast he truly is on the field versus on the track. So that's really what I'm looking forward to in this game against UConn. So we will record another podcast over the weekend following this UConn game. Hopefully, Purdue will be 2-0 at the time, and we will look forward to Notre Dame and future victories. So for Casey and myself, that's all, folks. Make sure to like, rate, review, and hammer that subscribe button. We will chat with you later this week.
Boiler up!